1 Samuel chapter 22. If you're familiar with that, if that rings a bell, it may please you that we're looking at this. A lady, one of our ladies, asked me what we were going to look at tonight, and I told her 1 Samuel 22, and she just lit up. She said, I love that. I do too. Let's read the first two verses, 1 Samuel 22. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Captain and his sorry crew. That's what this is all about. Mandy and I were discussing at dinner last night how the Lord has to make people discontented in order to bring them to hear the truth. Most people have some kind of refuge. Most people have some kind of religion. Most people are very content where they are, even if it's a false refuge, false religion. And the Lord has to make us discontented, or someone out in the world, someone in the gutter. The Lord has to make them, like the prodigal, has to bring them to themselves and discontented and realize their debt and be in distress. 400 men came to David and he became captain over them. Now this is a true story. David's a real man, but there's a hidden story, as you know. The real story here is of the son of David, the captain of our salvation. All right, let's look at the captain. This begins with all capital letters, D-A-V-I-D, David. All capital letters. And I was just struck as I went back through 1 Samuel, and his name just jumps out at you on nearly every verse. David, David, David. This whole book, 1 Samuel, called the first book of Kings. That's what 1 Samuel really is, the first book of Kings. But David is the first king, God's king. It's all about David. The whole book is mostly about David, God's chosen king of Israel. But more importantly, and most especially, it's this whole book is about the King of Kings, the son of David, who the Lord calls himself. David, as you know, was rejected by most, but he was declared king by God, wasn't he? God, he said, I have chosen me a man, a son from the sons of Jesse, a man after my own heart. And when Peter preached that day at Pentecost, he said, ye men of Israel, he said, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's God's king, though rejected by men. Now, David didn't look like a king, did he, at this point? He's in a cave. He doesn't look like a king, but very soon, all will see him as he really is. Very soon, they will see that David is the king, and they'll see him on his throne. And though most reject him now, only a few chosen ones came to him, but all Israel will come to him. All Israel will receive him, and all his enemies will be defeated by him, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. And so it is with our Lord Jesus. We see Jesus, Hebrews says, made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, but now he's crowned with glory and honor. And every eye shall see him, and every knee will bow. All Israel will be saved. That's the captain. He's the captain. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. David, look at where he is. He's in a cave. The captain's in a cave, verse 1. He escaped to the cave Adullam. What is a cave? It's a cleft of the rock. That's what it is. Go back to Exodus again with me. I know you were blessed by reading that. I was. But Exodus 33. I wonder how many people have read this, Exodus 33. How few have probably read it, and even fewer understand what they read. How blessed you are, we are, if we understand what we read there in Exodus 33. You know, I prepared a message Sunday for Cottageville with the possibility of someone being there that I had hoped would be there. And it was a message that was very, very relevant or applicable to him. And I hoped that he would be there and hoped that the Lord would use it for his sake. But he wasn't. But I was there. And tonight, Mandy and I both thought that there would be a visitor here, someone that she's been talking to. And I prepared this message. I thought of him, this person, when about this passage of Scripture. Well, he's not here. That happens invariably, doesn't it? Who's it for? Whoever's in distress and debt and discontented. But Exodus 33, how few have read this, even fewer understand what they read, but all the brethren do, all the father's house, all that are taught of God do. Look at Exodus 33, verse 13. It says in verse 13, Moses said, "If I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee." You know God's way, don't you? You know how we know Him, don't you? No man knoweth the Father but the Son. And the Son, He declares Him. And Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Look at verse 16. Moses said, "If I have found grace, and these people have found grace in thy sight, is not this how we know we're separated or sanctified, all of your people upon the face of the earth?" Your people are set apart by the truth, aren't they? Didn't our Lord say that? "Father, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is true." And that's how we're set apart. Verse 19. Moses, from verse 18, he said, "I beseech thee, show me thy glory." And the Lord said, "I will. I'll make all my goodness pass before you." You know where all the goodness of God is, don't you? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." Who is the Lord? The Lord Jesus Christ is His name. And He said, "I'll be gracious." I will be gracious. Sovereign grace. To whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy. God is mercy. With His sovereign mercy. We don't have a quarrel with that, do we? We're just thankful that He's gracious. We're just thankful that He shows mercy. And we're mighty thankful He chose us. We wouldn't have chosen Him. That's for sure. And the Lord said to Moses, "You cannot see my face. No man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "There's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. On Christ the solid rock I stand. It shall come to pass while my glory passes by." Here's where we see the glory of God, when He puts us in the cleft of the rock. Rock of ages, clefts for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Rock of ages, cleft for me. And the Lord said, "I'll take away my hand, you'll see my back part, but my face shall not be seen. But we have seen the face of God. Because the light shine out of darkness hath shined in our heart. To give the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen His glory, haven't we? Few have. But all of God's people have. All of God's people. They shall all be taught of God. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh to me. All right, go back to our text here. David is in a cave. The captain's in a cave. And look at his sorry crew who came to him. In 1 Samuel 22. It says in verse 1, when his brethren and all his father's house heard, they went down thither to him. Who came to him? His brethren and all his father's house. I can't see a thing through these glasses. You're a blur. You look better. Look at John chapter 5 with me. John chapter 5. All his brethren and all his father's house came to him. Everybody didn't. There were many people in Israel, weren't there? Many in Israel. But just these few came to David. And these were his brethren. And these were all his father's house. In John chapter 5. Do you remember when David came to where Goliath was? And his brethren were there. You remember that? Did they receive him? When David came, God had made him king. And David came to where they were fighting Goliath, where they were cowed from Goliath. And his brethren, beginning with the oldest, began to mock him, didn't they? They rejected him. They despised him, didn't they? He came to his own, and his own received him not. And that's what the Scripture says of our Lord Jesus. And neither did we. None of us received him at first, like Joseph's brethren, like the sorry sons of Jacob. They all rejected him. They all turned thumbs down on him. They all despised and rejected him. And so have we. So did we. And look at John 5, verse 40. Our Lord said, "You will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come to me that you might have life." But it does say in John chapter 1, "As many as received him, to them gave he the right, to the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Why did they receive him? Some did receive him. Why did these men come? Why do we come? Why do we receive the Lord finally? Because we're born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Not of him that willeth, of him that runneth. It's of God that showeth mercy. And we will not come until God does something for us. And in John 6, go over there. John chapter 6, the next page, verse 44. Our Lord said in verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father, which hath sent me, draw him. And if he does, I will raise him up at the last day." No man can. Who will come? Who will come? "All that the Father giveth me," he said in verse 37, "shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." David's brethren came to him, like Joseph. And I can't wait to get to that in the book of Genesis. But they came to him. The very ones that rejected David in the beginning came to him now. They're needy. They're poor and needy now. They need David now. He doesn't need them. But they need him. Will he receive them? He most certainly did. Why? Because he's a merciful man. And our Lord's more merciful than him. Infinitely merciful. And will receive all that come to him. "All that the Father giveth me," Christ said, "shall come to me." And they all came. You notice that? All of David's brethren. All the Father's house. Go back there. They all came to him. That's what our Lord said. Every man that hath heard. Look at verse 1. Here's when they came. Verse 1. All his father's house heard where David was. They heard, didn't they? And they went down to him. When they heard, and the Scripture said, "Every man hath heard and learned of him, cometh unto him." Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice." They all hear all that the Father gives me. Hear my voice. And you know these Scriptures in Ephesians 1. It says, "God hath chosen us in Christ before the world that we should be his children, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel. That's why I always quote that verse. Oh, how we thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel. You heard. You heard the gospel. People hear it, but they don't hear it. Having ears to hear, they don't hear. But God, the hearing ear, and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made them both. And he gave you his people. That's why you should believe that you're a son of God, if you have ears to hear, if you've heard his gospel. And faith cometh by hearing. These men heard that David was down in this cave. And look at... Listen. I want you to think about this. I've learned something new every time. You ought to. And I don't know how many times we've looked at this together. At least 10 or 12 times. And I didn't go back and look at my notes because I was afraid I preached it last year. I thought it doesn't matter. But I learned something here. How did David's brethren know where he was and everybody else didn't? Huh? David was a hunted man. He was a wanted man. His enemies wanted him. Saul wanted him. Find him. 400 men knew where he was. Nobody else did. Huh? God hid him. What does Scripture say? He had hidden his name from the wise and prudent and revealed him unto his people. Huh? Oh, even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. We speak, Paul said, the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom. God hath revealed these things unto us, he said in 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural man receiveth not the things of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And nobody knows who Christ is unless God reveals them. And nobody knows where Christ is. They pass by out there by the thousands, don't they? They pass by the thousand. They look at this little brick building down in a hole, and they think that's just another church. No, it's not. Christ is here. Yes, he is. I can say that on the promise of God's word, where two or three are gathered in my name, that's where I am. And if you are, you'll see his face. You'll know it. If you're in debt, you're in distress, and you're discontented, you'll have that relieved. That's who this is for. That's why they came. That's why they came. God revealed to them where David was. And God also revealed something else to them, their need. But look at how they approached David. Verse 1. It says they went down. They went down thither. Say that's just talking about geographically. No, it's not either. God's word is perfect, isn't it? You've got to come down when you approach the king. The pride and the irreverence in modern religion today says within my heart there's no fear of God before their eyes. The way they carry on, the way they approach, so-called approach God, tells me that they don't know God. Isaiah says this. What a passage this is. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and everyone that is lifted up shall be brought low. So he says, go into the cleft of the rock. Come down. That's how you approach the king. You come down. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. These sorry brethren that rejected David before, they come humbly now. They come down humbly before him. And David is going to exalt them to his right hand. They're going to reign with him. And so will everyone that comes this way to the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, look at this sorry bunch. What a sorry crew they were. It came to their captain. Verse 2. Everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. What a sorry bunch of worthless fellows, huh? What can they do for David? Nothing. They don't have anything that David needs. What does David need with them? Nothing. They have nothing. They are nothing. David doesn't need them. But they need David. They need David. They're nothing. They have nothing. Scripture says, if any man thinketh he's something when he's nothing. I mean, we know nothing of ourselves, Scripture said. You see your calling, brethren? Huh? How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty are called. You see your calling? But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Base things of the world, things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things that are not. A bunch of nothings. To bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Let me read the other verse. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God, though you're a nothing, Christ has made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That is, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. A bunch of nobodies who came to somebody. The King of Kings, David. And that is our Lord. We come to him as nothing, and Christ becomes our all. Well, our God says without him you can do nothing. And he says to everyone who is a nothing, all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. my. Everyone in distress, look at that. Everyone that was in distress. Over sin. Everyone that's in distress over sin, your own. Everyone that feels like David, he said, my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, will come to Christ. Everyone who feels like David when he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Everyone that says with the Apostle Paul, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Everyone that's in distress over their sin comes to Christ. That's who will come. And everyone that's in distress over the sin in this world, this present evil world, who's vexed like old Lot in Sodom. All these men came to David that were in distress. And all of God's people, he makes them in distress, poor and needy, and in debt. Look at verse 2. They're in debt. Every one of these brethren of David had borrowed until they could borrow no more and then had no money to repay. And what do we have that we have not received? And we owe a great debt of gratitude to God, haven't we? And don't we? And we have nothing to repay it. We have sinned and come short of the glory of God, don't we? We have a sin debt that we cannot repay. And we are, as the old writers used to say, bankrupt sinners. So that's who will come to Christ. In my hands no price I bring. In debt. Everyone that's in debt. And everyone that's discontented. Everyone that's discontented. There's no pleasure or contentment in the things of this world. And God must make it so with us. We, like Moses, found pleasure in the things of Egypt for a season. But in due time, God must make every one of his people, like Moses, choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than the pleasures of sin for a season. To reject the riches of Egypt and count them nothing for the treasures of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God must make a person discontented with the things of this world, discontented with religion. Many of you were in religion, legal religion. He has to make you discontented with that. Many of you were in various forms of religion. Many and I were talking about several of them, how that you came to hear the gospel because the Lord made you discontented where you were. Several of you, most of you, discontented where you were. Got to make somebody discontented with the lies they're hearing and want to hear the truth. Like my father-in-law. You've heard that story where he said to his false preacher, he said, "I don't know what I'm not hearing, but I'm not hearing something." And then the Lord, that's of the Lord. The Lord has to make a person discontented where they are and seek the truth. Seek the truth and come and hear it. Some are contented with lies, but God has to make us discontented. And it says in verse 2, they gathered themselves unto Him. Gathered themselves to David. They were gathered to David. It was David they needed. They were all with one accord. They all had one need. They all needed David to do something for them. That's why they came. They all had one need. And it wasn't that they needed their marriages straightened out. They didn't need new jobs. They didn't ask for money. It was a person they were seeking. And that's what the Lord does. He causes His people to seek Christ. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, Christ said. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. If it's Christ you need, it's Christ you get. And nobody will take Him from you. Can't do it. They gathered themselves unto Him. And you know what? These men all had to leave somewhere to come to David, didn't they? Every last one of them had to leave somebody and somewhere. They had houses. 400 men. They had family, didn't they? They were bankrupt. They owed a lot of money. But they had to leave it all. They were in Israel amongst all that Judaism. Saul was, you know, they were priests, but they were false priests. They were all false. Saul had the true ones killed. The very chapter right before this, at Nob, 85 priests he had killed. There were no true preachers, no priests. They left all of that to go to David. And the scripture says we must go forth unto Christ without the camp. Without the camp, bearing His reproach. When their families heard that these men left, and they maybe heard that they were going down to wherever David was, they were going to David, this outcast, this nobody, this would-be king, they thought. They thought nothing of him. They thought, these men are fools. They were fools for David's sake. And that's what the world, the religion of this world thinks. What do you see in that? What do you all go? What do you all do there? Nobody goes there. Yeah, that's right. Nobody. A bunch of nobodies go there. But there's somebody that meets with us. And that's who we go. That's who we're gathered to. We go forth unto Him bearing His reproach without the camp, outside the majority of religion. And look at verse 2. It says, and He became captain over them. It doesn't say He asked them if they would accept Him as their personal captain. But to say that, won't you, man? I want to be your captain. You'll let me. Oh, no. He wasn't voted on either, was he? Did he become captain when they decided? Oh, no. It says he became captain. He assumed the responsibility, the command. He became captain. You know what captain means? It's one in charge. Back then, a captain was as high as you could get. There were no generals. There was a captain. Captain was the highest you could get. Captain, my captain. David is a captain. Captain, one in charge, one who rules, one who commands. He became captain over them and over everyone else eventually. God had made this same cry, Lord, and cry. One, a captain is one who goes before his crew. Always. Not like these fellas now who hide in bunkers in the back, you know, while the men charge up the hill. No, the captain back then. And the Lord, oh, I love that passage where it says, and Jesus went before them. It says he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem and went before them. He was always out in front of them. They were, and it says they were sore afraid. Not him. He's their captain. You want a captain that's not afraid, don't you? That'll relieve your fear. One who goes before. A captain is one who faces all the foes. Christ faced our adversary. Christ faced the law. Christ faced all our foes, and he defeated them. Tell them, comfort my people. You tell them the warfare is accomplished. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that did it. Did it all. He won the battle. A captain is the one who charts the course, like a captain of a ship. He knows the waters. He charts the course. He guides the ship. Always. Captain. That story of our Lord being asleep in the ship, well, it may have appeared that way, but he was still guiding that ship, wasn't he? And Hebrews 2 says this. Let me just read it to you. You don't have to turn. Hebrews 2 says this. It says, it became him for whom are all things and by whom are all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth God and they who are sanctified are all of one. God brought all these men to David and made them one under David, their king. He that sanctifieth, they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. I love that. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And from that day forward, they're not ashamed either. And he says this, I will declare my name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me. And I'm going to keep reading. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Captain of our salvation. And you know, I'm sure the first thing that David did for them says they were in debt or in distress, doesn't it? They were in distress. Stress. You know, we experience a lot of stress, don't we? That's pressure and fears that crowd us and make us feel afraid and at our wits' end. The first thing I'm sure that David did was allay their fear. I'm sure he said to them, fellas, peace. It's okay now. Be not afraid. God's with us. God has promised me that I'm his king. And if you've come to me, and I've got to reign on that throne, I've got to. God can't lie. So you just be not afraid. And that's what our Lord does when we come to him. First thing, peace. Be still. You've come to the right person. You've come to me. And I am your peace. Fear not. I am with thee. Oh, be not dismayed. And the next thing he did, they were in debt. They were all in debt. And I'm quite sure of this. That the next thing that David did was say, I hereby declare from this day forward, all debts are canceled. Nobody owes a dime. Reckon? Oh, yeah. All you do is owe me your allegiance. Your allegiance. All debts are canceled. And so it is with our Lord Jesus Christ. He paid it all the debt I owe. And it says they were discontented. Up to this point, they were just so discontented with everything and everyone, especially themselves. But when they came to David, Now they're satisfied. But they don't have anything. They don't need anything. They left everything. Well, they got it all now. And they're going to get it back. David's going to recover all. And they're going to reign with him. And they have not seen yet the things that God's going to do through David. And so it is with us. We'll restore everything that we lost in our father Adam. And all who come to Christ, all who truly come to the Lord Jesus Christ, discontented before, satisfied in Him. God is satisfied, and we are too. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And look how many. It says there were about 400 men. There were millions of people in Israel at this time. 400 men. Not many, is it? No. Many are called. They all heard the story that David is king. They all heard it. Had they not all heard? Yeah, verily. All Israel heard this, but only a few came. That's the way it is. God's word is so perfect. Many are called, few are chosen, but all that are chosen will come to Christ. And from that day forward, and from the day we come to Christ, who may be troubled, who are not in distress. We may be perplexed. Why is this happening? But we're not in despair. We may be persecuted, but not forsaken. We have a captain. We may be cast down, but not destroyed. Because Christ is the captain over us. Let me read you in closing a wonderful... Look at it with me in Gadsby's hymn. We won't sing this, but you look at it with me. Gadsby's hymnal, number 147. I started to have us sing this together, but you can read it with me. 147 in Gadsby's hymnal. Look at it. We'll read this in closing. You have it? 147. John Berridge wrote this. All in debt or in distress, discontented, more or less, all who have would protection have, come away to David's cave. All who find their sinful debt deep and deeper growing yet, all who have been Satan's tool, much his madman or his fool, all who discontented are, full of guilt and full of fear, every soul who would not die, come to Christ, come to Christ. Jesus, all your debts will pay and chase your legal fears away. Every foe He will subdue, world and flesh and devil too. Haste and seek the Savior's face. Rise and bless Him for His grace. To His rejected church repair, He will wash and feast you there. You in distress, debt, discontented, come to Christ. Stand with me. Our Lord, once again, we thank you for your word. It gives us comfort, great comfort, as it shows us Christ, our captain, our salvation, our peace, our rest. Lord, may we come to Him. To whom coming? Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep ourselves in the love of God. Keep ourselves under the gospel. Keep ourselves under the sound of peace and words of comfort. It's in Christ's name we met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.